Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And so as he rode into the city that week, he didn't ride in as a king. He rode in lowly and meek and on a donkey. And that was the same day that they selected the lamb for Passover.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of This is Love, Personal Relationship. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of This is Love, Personal Relationship.
As we enter into this series that we've been talking about, we want to look ahead at the upcoming weeks, which, as I said in my prayer, is one of the most important weeks in the life of mankind. It's a time when we look forward to Christ's death, to his burial, and to his resurrection. Oftentimes, we let this time of the year just come upon us and not necessarily prepare our hearts for what it is that Christ did for us. As we think about the events of this week, I put this up because I feel that we have missed the purposes of God in dealing with the Holy Week. We see that the event when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem, which is Palm Sunday, and we call that the triumphal entry. But on God's calendar, what God had planned way before man named it Palm Sunday, Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And so as he rode into the city that week, he didn't ride in as a king. He rode in lowly and meek and on a donkey. And that was the same day that they selected the lamb for Passover. And so Jesus didn't ride in to offer himself as a king, but he rode in to say that I am the Lamb of God, and I'm offering myself as that lamb today. We look at the night when Jesus shares a meal with the disciples. The church calls that Maundy Thursday. The church calls that the Last Supper. But if you really look at the essence of what Jesus was doing, he was celebrating Passover with the disciples. He was focusing in on that ancient custom in the Old Testament where they selected a lamb and God passed over the homes where the blood of the lamb was marked on the doorpost. And so Jesus, as he focused that night, he knew he was going to the cross, but his heart was in celebrating the Passover meal. And then he was crucified. And we call that Good Friday. The church calls that Good Friday. But that was the same day that the Passover lamb was killed. And then that Sunday, we call it Easter. But that's when Jesus rose from the dead. That's Resurrection Sunday. And that is on the Jewish calendar. And on God's eternal calendar, that is the Feast of First Fruits. When Jesus said, well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus is our first fruits as he rose from the dead. So when we think about what we're heading towards, it's a lot deeper than just Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. But it was connected with God's eternal plans. This morning, we want to look at John chapter 11. And I want to point something out in John 11 that hopefully will prick our hearts and help us to be able to understand what it means to have a relationship, a personal relationship, that Jesus came so that we could have a personal relationship with him and have a personal relationship with God. In John chapter 11, let me just highlight it real quick before we get to the meat of what I want to say. Let's get some background. Let's get some context to the passage. In John chapter 11, in verses 1 through 5, Jesus received word that Lazarus was sick. They said, "Him whom thou lovest is sick." And so Jesus gets the message that one who was close with him, one who had been intimate with him, was sick. Now, instead of Jesus mounting up and heading to Bethany, the Bible says in verses 6 through 10 that he waited for 2 days. So he didn't leave right away. And when he decided to leave, he traveled, and verses 11 through 7, Lazarus died. The friend whom his sisters sent to let Jesus know that he was sick, that here was Jesus who was God. Here was Jesus who had the power to heal. He didn't show up right away. And Lazarus died before Jesus got there. And then as Jesus arrives in Bethany, he runs into Martha and Mary. And both of them say the same thing. "If thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died." If thou had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said that I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then Jesus comes and he stands before the grave of Lazarus and he weeps. And he cries out. And then he tells them to go remove the stone. And then Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out of the grave, and Jesus performed another miracle. So that's the background to John chapter 11. Let's look at our notes this morning. It is beyond our comprehension to think that the God of eternity wants to have a personal relationship with human beings. This is clearly brought into focus in John 11, where we read about a family that Jesus loved. When Lazarus got sick, Jesus received a message saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." A few verses later, John records a footnote to the narrative by stating, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." 4 days after Lazarus was buried, Jesus at the tomb, the people that were around, Jesus showed up at the tomb and grieved over his dead friend. When those around the tomb saw it, they said, "Behold, how he loved him." We can truly say that Jesus and Lazarus had a personal relationship. Can you imagine what it would be like to have a personal relationship with God in the flesh? There would have been times they spent fellowshipping over a meal. The talks that lasted deep into the night. Moments and even hours of prayer to the Father. What we would all give to be Lazarus. Can you imagine to fellowship with God in the flesh, and for it to be noted 3 times in this chapter that Jesus loved him. That Jesus loved him. Oh, just to be able to walk with Jesus as Lazarus walked with Jesus. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Isn't that one of the reasons that Jesus came and died on the cross? that we might have a relationship with him and the Father. This is love. This is love. That we can have a relationship with the Almighty God of eternity, the God of the universe, that we can have a relationship with him. This is love. And this love is magnified even greater when you think about the sinful condition of those he died to save. As we move closer to the time of the passion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, let our hearts be gripped that Jesus walked the Calvary road, that Jesus gave his life so that we could have a relationship with him. Just like he loved Lazarus, that Jesus wants to love us and share those intimate times with us. And as I said in the notes, that this is even more magnified when you think about what he had to go through to get to the point where he could have this relationship with us. The first thing that we see is that the God of eternity, that Christ loved us through our alienation. He loved us through our alienation. I have the verse in your notes, and it says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he reconciled." The word alienated comes from the Greek word apolatru, and it means to be cut off. It means to be estranged, that you and I were cut off. We were estranged from him. But God made it possible for us to be reconciled and have a relationship with him. But some of you might say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, wait a minute, that when I was born, that I came into this relationship with God, and I was connected with God. But look what it said in Psalm 58 in verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born. That from the time that you were born, you were alienated from God. Oh, you say, oh, Pastor, how can you say that? That sweet little baby, that sweet little innocent child, how can you say that they were alienated from God? David said in Psalm 51, "In sin did my mother conceive me. With a sin nature I was born. I was alienated from God from the very beginning." I thank God, because I don't want to trouble any of you in your spirit, but I thank God that I believe in his word, that he lets us know that if a child dies, that he has made provision for that child to enter into his presence. I'm not sure how he does it, but he has done it. I would have to say, based on the blood of Christ somewhere, that child has come through it. Not that child has made a personal profession of faith in Jesus Christ, but I believe that somehow God has made a way for that child to go into heaven. However, that child has been alienated from God. From the time that you were born, you were alienated from God. You say, well, Pastor, I grew up in the church. I've been in church all my life. And there's a whole lot of people who've been in church all their life, and they've been alienated from God. So we see the power of this love. This is love. The fact that the God of eternity would step out of eternity in the time, would reach out to us to reconcile us to God so that we could have a personal relationship with him. You know, I'm reminded of that parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. If you'll turn there, Luke chapter 15. Verse 3. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he have found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 righteous persons who need not repentance. That I was estranged. I was separated from the fold. I was out doing my own thing, alienated from God. And he left the flock, contented to stay, to search for the one who had drifted away. What in the night? What did I see? It was the kind, gentle shepherd. He was searching for me. Thank God. Thank God. He saved me in time. And he loved me just like the 99. I was cut off. I was separated. I was on a cliff all by myself, separated from God. And he reconciled me unto himself. You who were alienated, God has reached down and reconciled. But not only were we alienated, we see also Christ loved us through our hostility. Look at a verse, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he reconciled. We possess, I know somebody's going to get offended this morning, but that's all right. Don't take it up with me. Take it up with God's word. We possess hostile minds toward God. The word enemies means hateful. That's what that word means, where it says that we are enemies. The Greek word translated there means hateful. Maybe you didn't do like this guy. And maybe you didn't ball your fist. And maybe you didn't shake your fist in the face of God. But through your mind, you had evil works. And you think about the fact that any sin that we commit, no matter how great or no matter how small, is an affront against the holy God. Any sin that you commit, if you murder somebody, that's an affront against the holy God. And then we have these things that we call little white lies. If you tell a little white lie, that's an affront against a holy God. And the fact that we have these thoughts that would even enter our mind to tell a lie, that we have these thoughts that would enter into our mind that would tell us things that are against God's word and against God's will, means that we have, and I'm going to go back and read it again, that we have hostility in our mind towards God. Yet Christ, in the midst of that, Christ suffered and he died. Even when we were enemies. Even when we were enemies. Baptist minister Peter Miller was in Pennsylvania. He was a friend of George Washington. There was an evil man by the name of Michael Whitman. He sought to oppose and humiliate this minister every time he could. One day, Whitman was arrested for treason and he was sentenced to die, Miller walked 70 miles. He came to George Washington, and he pleaded for the man's life. This minister who had been ridiculed, this minister who had been humiliated by this man, came and pled for his life. And George Washington said, Peter, he said, as much as I would love to, I cannot grant a pardon for the life of your friend. The pastor said, friend, he said, he is the bitterest enemy that I have. With that, George Washington said, you mean to tell me you walked all this way to save this man's life? And with that, George Washington granted the man a pardon. And after that, they became friends, the pastor and his enemy. And they were no longer at odds or no longer in opposition to each other. Jesus came a long way, more than 70 miles. He stepped out of the portals of heaven, came to this earth. We who were enemies, we who had hostility in our minds. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know me. I was a good person. I did good things. I did good work. But you were still hostile in your mind towards God. That the very thoughts that you had were not always pure. The very thoughts that you had were not always holy and godly. That those evil thoughts were hostility against God. And Jesus left the portals of heaven to beg for your pardon. And when he died on the cross, he not only provided the pardon, but then he became our friend. We are no longer enemies. And just like Lazarus, that we can have this relationship, no, not with the physical human Jesus that walked on this earth, because that was a special relationship between him and Lazarus, but by faith, we can have a relationship with God. This is love. This is love. The fact that a man that God would die for his enemies. This is love. The third thing that we see is that Christ loved us through our wickedness. Christ loved us through our wickedness. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And let's look in the mirror for a second. Let's look in the mirror. Somebody say, yeah, that's not me. Romans chapter 3. In verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understands.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of This is Love, Personal Relationship. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, This is Love, Personal Relationship, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request This is Love, Personal Relationship. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request This is Love, Personal Relationship. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.